you wouldn't mind standing with me as we read tonight. Amen. Leviticus chapter 20, verse number 22 says, "Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nations which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess as a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean. And ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine." Amen. I want to talk to you with the Lord's help tonight about severed. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Several weeks ago, about a month or so ago, my wife and I were having our devotions together, and we came across this verse of Scripture. The Lord seemed to impress it on my heart. So I wrote down some things about it, and verse number 26 says, "Ye shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine." I looked up that word severed, and it means to separate, to distinguish, to select, to make or put a difference between, to make separate, to sever out, and to do it utterly. Amen. In other words, it's not a halfway job. It's not something that was done just a little bit and then let go, but it was something that was done utterly. It was something that was done all the way. Amen? This connotation of severed occurs over in Genesis also, where it talks about how when God began to separate the waters in the firmament, and when He began to create, He separated light from darkness. He separated dry land from the waters. He separated these things so that there was a distinct difference. And when we talk about daylight, we talk about something that's distinctly different than something that when we talk about nighttime or darkness. Man. So the same connotation occurs here. And in Exodus, when it talked about the veil that separated between the holy and the holy of holies, it was talked about that veil severed the holy place and the holy of holies. So there was a distinct difference between those two places in the temple. And here in this verse of Scripture is used to talk about how that God has separated Israel from the nations around it to a place of privilege. And as a result, they were supposed to make a difference between what was clean and what was unclean. And we'll read further on later in the time period of the Israelites when they began to blur that distinction, when God cursed them and began to throw them out of the land. God said, from this time forward, and since I brought you into the promised land, and when I bring you in and all this kind of stuff, that you are to make a difference and make a distinction that is to be black and white. There's not supposed to be any gray areas. And when they started meshing them together, where there began to be just a little bit of gray area here and a gray area there, that God began to spew them out. Amen. Today, God has called us out. And He has severed us from the world to a place of privilege. And we're supposed to be the sons and daughters of God. Amen. As a result, we are to make a distinction between what's clean and what's unclean. What's holy and what's profane. Amen. We're supposed to make a distinction between what's worldly and what's godly. We're supposed to make a distinction between what's holy and what's unholy. Amen. Oh, man. Not only just in the way we dress, but in the way we act. In the way we react. In the way we, you ever seen somebody, they have long hair and long sleeves and long dresses? They look nice, got a nice haircut. They go to the restaurant and act like that they come off the back 40 somewhere. They chew the waitress up and spit her out. Don't leave her a tip for all her hard work that she's done. Complain to the manager and everything else. And you feel like getting up and going to tell the manager, sir, they might look like us, but they're not one of us, I promise. You ever felt that way? There's a whole lot more to being holiness just the way you dress. Hallelujah. I said there's a whole lot more to being holiness than the way you dress. If your character on the inside don't line up with the way you dress it on the outside, you might as well go on out there and dress the way you're acting. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm sick and tired of people that calling themselves holiness and giving us a bad name. Amen. I've had people tell me, if I got to be holiness and do and act like that, if that's what holiness is, I don't want anything to do with it. But when God has called us to be a severed people, that means utterly severed. That means we don't act the way the world acts. We don't conduct our business the way the world conducts their business. We don't talk the way they talk. We don't connotate the way they connotate and look around and make suggestions of this and suggestions of that. We're severed. We're cut off. Amen. When you go over to a tree to cut off a branch, you sever it off. You don't leave it hanging halfway on there. I was reading one time about a man that grafting. That's what they call it when you engraft something. They go and cut that branch off, and they'll make a little cut in another tree, and they'll slide it down in there and tape it up and put some tar or some pitch or something on it until it begins to draw out that new tree, you see? And it begins to take on a little bit of a new nature. And the Bible says that we're supposed to be engrafted into the true vine. And when you're cut off from the world, brother and sister, you're not just barely cut off and left dangling over there somewhere. If you're really in the true vine of Jesus Christ, you're severed all the way off and you're engrafted into the true vine of Jesus Christ, and you'll begin to feed off of that good sap that makes a difference in the way that you act. It makes a difference in the way that your character reacts to things. It makes a difference in the way you talk. It makes a difference in the way you walk. And it also makes a difference in the way you dress. Amen. But usually most of the time, it's not until it starts to draw. You can tell when an engrafted vine begins to take hold of the sap because its leaves start looking a little better. The outward appearance. But you can't get the outward appearance. You don't expect the leaves to look good until it starts partaking of the sap of the vine. Amen? So often we try to clean them up before they take a bath. Amen. Woo. A little deep, but that's okay. If you're still responding to the way the world does things, it could be that you ain't all the way severed off. Amen? If you're still responding to the enticements of the world, if you're still responding to the way that they do things, if you're still responding to their words and their actions and the way that they lure you, it could be that you're not severed all the way off from the world and engrafted into the true vine of Jesus Christ. Brother, when I got saved, when I got all the way severed off, when I got engrafted into the true vine of Jesus Christ, there's something got a hold of me. The world didn't appeal to me anymore. The music didn't appeal to me anymore. The TV didn't appeal to me anymore. The book, the media, the music, all that stuff didn't appeal to me anymore. But the things of God began to appeal to me. I began wanting to be in church all the time. I like to hear the songs of Zion. I like to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Those things that the world that used to attract me, they didn't attract me anymore because I got all the way severed out. Amen. When you get severed off, you're not partaking of that sap of the world anymore. You're partaking of that good stuff. And get on down in your soul. Amen. Hallelujah. Lot's wife, she never got severed, you know. That's why she turned around. She never got severed all the way. She never got cut off from Sodom and Gomorrah. She still had a little bit of an attachment there. And Lot's wife lost her life because she wasn't all the way severed off. And there's a whole lot of people today that are sitting in our churches. If they don't hurry up and get severed off, they're going to die right there. Amen. You know, you ever seen a branch that got halfway cut off? It's just kind of flopping around there. You give it a little while, that thing's going to die. Because it's not getting the nourishment that it needs. That's what happens when we ride the fence, young people. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Romans chapter 11. Very quickly. Hallelujah. Talking about severed. Glory. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse number 17 says, "And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree." And I just want to take that out and look at it for a little bit. Skip down with me at verse number 21. "For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee." Verse 23, "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut off of the olive tree, which is wild by nature," hello, "and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree?" Amen. If you that were cut off of the olive tree that was wild by nature. Come on now. If you were cut off from the wild olive tree and you were grafted into a good olive tree, you know what that means? That means that the wildness that used to be in your system ought to be out of there somewhere if you get grafted into the good olive tree. If you get good and cut off, if you get good and severed out of the wild olive tree, then you get grafted into the good olive tree. You know what that olive oil stands for, brother? That stands for the good power of the Holy Ghost. And when you get grafted into the good olive tree, you begin to partake of the good Holy Ghost of God. Amen. You wonder sometimes why your life is lacking. You wonder sometimes why you just don't feel the way that others do when they begin to shout and when they begin to dance before the Lord. It could be that you're not taking in from the good olive tree like you ought to, and you still are taking a little bit from that wild olive tree. But if you'll get a hold of the good one tonight, I believe as the Lord begins to move in the service, as we begin to sing and begin to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're really grafted into the good olive tree, then you'll begin to partake of that good sap. Ah, the good Holy Ghost. And it begins to flow through your life and give you that joy and that peace and that contentment in your life that you always wanted, that you always need. You see everybody else getting happy in the Lord. You see everybody else being the overcomer for Jesus Christ. You see everybody else doing everything that's right and having a victorious life, and you wonder why you can't. Well, it could be that you're not all the way severed off. It could be that you're not all the way engrafted in. Amen. Just get on down there tonight and pray and say, "Lord, sanctify me." Yes. Hey, you've been wondering what I'm preaching about. I'm preaching about a little sanctification.
Yes, sir.
Amen. There's nothing wrong with just, some of us think we're too holy to have sanctification. I don't care how holy you are, brother and sister. When you begin to think you're too holy to ask God to sanctify your life, it could be you might have a whole lot of bigger problem than you thought you did to begin with. Woo! It's time we get a little sanctified. Amen. You don't hear people saying that much anymore because they're afraid somebody's going to get on to them. But that's okay. I can jump on that bus tonight, leave out here, and then you can talk to the pastor about it in the morning. But I'm telling you tonight, if we get a little bit of sanctification in our life and our heart, begin to lay aside the things of the world, begin to take on the good olive tree, amen, the good Holy Ghost in our life, we can begin to dance and shout before the Lord. We don't feel like a dead branch when we come to service. Amen. Come on. Talking about being severed tonight. A little sanctification always does us good. Amen? When we come out of the world and looking and allowing the world to assault our senses all the day long, when we come into the house of God, it'd be good to get out and say, "Lord, sanctify my mind. Woo, sanctify my eyes, Lord. Sanctify my ears, Lord. Sanctify my mouth, Lord. That when I go back out of here, that I can carry the holy good things of the Lord. Everybody I come in contact with will smell the sweet fragrance of the good olive oil." Amen. Woo! Aaron, man, he was anointed. It ran off his beard and down off the bottom of his garments. We come to the house of God. We need to pray that the Lord will give the good Holy Ghost, the good olive oil out of that good tree, and just pour it all over us. From the top of our heads to the sole of our feet, when we walk out in the world and walk by somebody, they'll smell a good sanctified life. Amen. Woo! Come on now. Well, glory. You see, a lot of people, they like to talk about being severed from, but they don't like to be talked about being grafted into. You young people, you've heard a whole lot of people preaching about what you can't do. Let me tell you what you can do. Amen. You can enjoy the good presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I tell you what, I ain't missed a thing in the world. I ain't missed a thing in the world, no. Why is it? It's because when I got grafted into the good olive tree and began to partake of the good olive oil and began to allow it to flow through my life and give me that good Holy Ghost life, that good victorious overcoming life, I didn't miss the things of the world because I replaced it with coming to church and singing the songs of Zion, going to youth meeting, finding a revival here and there, going to camp meeting, going to youth camp, praying somebody else through the Holy Ghost, praying somebody else through salvation, telling somebody about Jesus Christ. And you know what? I've been doing that for quite some time now. And you know, I hadn't missed a thing in this world yet. But when you started missing the things of the world, when you start saying, I wonder if I could pick that up now. You know, I'm a little stronger. I'm a little older Christian now. I've matured a little bit. You hear that? I've matured a little bit. I believe I can handle it now. Brother, if you couldn't handle it then, I don't know if I'd trust myself to see if I could handle it now. Hey, it could be that might be the thing that shuts off the flow. It shuts off the flow. Now, I don't want anything to shut off the flow of the Holy Ghost in my life. Amen. Every night when I get down to pray, I say, Lord, sanctify my mind. Sanctify my heart. Lord, let the good olive tree of the Holy Ghost just flow on through me, Lord, and purify me, sanctify me, anoint me, Lord, that everywhere I go, that everybody I come in contact with, when I brush by them, when I rub shoulders with this one, that when they walk away, that they'll still have a little bit of it on and they smell it all day long. You ever been around somebody like that? When you walk by them, when you've been around them for just a little while, you walk away, you just feel it. And you take it with you all day. Severed. It's time we get severed tonight. And I believe if we can get severed from the world and grafted into the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can take hold of that good olive tree tonight. And we can partake of that good Holy Ghost power. And when this church service gets started tonight, Brother Collins, and everything gets wound up, we can get on in there and shout like everybody else and have a good time. Because we've been partaking of the good olive tree. Amen. Well, glory to God. I guess my time's up tonight. Amen. I'll just stop right here and tell you, if you think you're too holy to have a little sanctification, you're the first one that needs to hit the altar. And the rest of you, you just follow on in and hit the altar too. And I believe we'll have us a good old service tonight. The Lord will move and God will minister and God will touch. And those that are here that are not saved tonight, it could be that you're obeying the Spirit and being full of the Spirit of God can influence them to come pray through tonight. We can see some souls saved and see somebody else filled with the good Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Let's come pray tonight and ask the Lord to be with us in the service. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.